It is great to be in church this morning, isn't it? Wonderful. I love being in church. Church is my favorite day of the week. So good. And I hope that you are feeling connected this morning. I hope that you're feeling connected to God and to the other people around you. And this morning, for the next 25 minutes or so, I have the privilege of speaking to you about joy. Amazing. Yeah. Just wait, I haven't started yet. We've been talking about joy for the last month or so, just diving into the Bible and what does the Bible say about joy, but also what do we define as joy in our lives and the fact that God wants us to experience joy. Pastor Mark's been talking a lot about the fact that we are better together, right? That joy comes from being together. And today, what I suppose I want to do is just extend that a little bit. So I'm going to start where we're going to end this morning, and then we're going to kind of go through the Bible a little bit and through a couple of different stories to get there. But if you really want to listen this morning, if you have come to get something out of church today, get your phone out, your notepad out, whatever it is, this is the thing. This is where we're going to end up today. Are you ready? Excellent. You will find joy as you move your focus away from yourself onto God and onto others. That's it. You will find joy as you move your focus away from yourself onto God and onto others. Before we dive in, I would love it if you would pray with me. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you, God, for joy. And thank you for the purpose that you have for our lives, Father. And I pray that as we dive into your word today, Father, that you would speak to us. Speak to us in a fresh way. Give us joy, we pray. We thank you, God, in your name. Amen. I wonder if you've ever felt alone. I wonder if you've ever felt a really deep sense of loneliness. Like perhaps you didn't have a place to belong. And maybe like you didn't have any friends. I wonder if that's something you've felt. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am a twin, which is a whole lot of fun. I have an identical twin sister. Ben's laughing because he also has a twin. And it is so much fun. We look exactly the same. Right? Sometimes Bree's come here and people are like, but why is Jess on the stage and also sitting down there? What is happening? We look so alike. And it is so much fun. In primary school, we weren't like the best of friends or anything at school. But because I was in the cool class and Bree was a dork, what? She's not going to listen to this. It's fine. I can tell you anything I want about her. No. I was cool and I had all these really cool friends who didn't so much lead me down the best path. But, you know, when I came home, I still had Bree as a friend, which was great. And she kind of helped keep me on the straight and narrow. We were like those twins who share a room until you're 14 years old. You know, that sort of thing. Right. It's a lot. I was actually kind of scared when I got my first room by myself, and I was like, what happens now? There is no one in here. And we are best friends, right? It is so cool. One of the greatest things about having a twin, at least in my case, is that I have an inbuilt best friend. So good. And we had lots and lots of fun with it. And as we moved into high school after primary school, I realized I, in fact, was not that cool, and I needed to hang out with Bree. Just kidding. She's wonderful. I love her. We did absolutely everything together, right? We had the same friends at youth group. We had the same friends at school. And we just kind of had a lot of fun. We look very, very similar. So people always ask me, did you guys ever do like the swap thing whenever you were in school? No, we didn't. I know that's kind of disappointing. Well, we were kind of a bit bad as twins like that, but we actually didn't look as similar when we were kids. I had like short little hair like this actually, and Brie had, you know, really short hair. So you know in primary school when you have the boy and the girl line and she would always get mistaken for a boy? She's going to come to church and you're going to be like, you don't look like a boy at all. So much fun. And it was so great because we just did everything together, right? And we never had to walk into a room alone. We could just decide to go somewhere and we would always have someone to talk to whenever we walked in the door. And, you know, we didn't play tricks on people when we were younger, but now we look pretty much exactly the same. So we can play tricks on people, which is so much fun. In fact, the other day, it was our birthday. Very exciting. And we went out to celebrate with some of her friends. And as I was leaving, I saw her housemates coming to go and see her inside. And they were looking at me like, hey, like, I'm coming to see you. Why are you leaving? And I was like, they think I'm Brie. Her housemates think I'm Brie. Like, these people live with her. Anyway, so as a twin, as it goes in our lives, we have a choice in that moment, right? You're sort of like, how long am I going to see this person for? How much could I just pretend to be the other person? Which I'm not going to lie, I've done quite a few times. And she's done to me. So, in fact, people always ask me, they're like, how's the singing going, Brie? And I'm like, I'm probably not going to see you for very long. Yeah, it's really good. It's great. All right, see you, got to go. And then I leave. And then I tell Brie about it later that I saw this random person who I had no idea who they were. But I thought probably since they were her housemates, I should tell them that I am, in fact, not Brie. And they should probably go inside and see Brie. And I think they were a little bit embarrassed, but that's all right. This just goes to show how similar we look now. But I remember the first time that I was alone. Brie left Kalgoorlie before me, so we'd grown up in Kalgoorlie, and she came down to live in Perth a couple of years before I did. And I remember when I had to start walking into rooms by myself. And I was 18 years old, and I was kind of scared. I don't think I really realized what was going on, because I'm a little bit slow in the uptake sometimes. But I just started to feel really uncomfortable about the fact that I now had to go and walk into rooms by myself. It was weird. I didn't immediately have someone to talk to anymore. One of the things about being a twin and being so close to your twin is that people don't necessarily think that they need to be your friend. In fact, one of my friends told me actually once, and she said, after Brie had left Kalgoorlie, she's like, oh, I thought you were fine, because you just had Brie, so I just didn't make that much of an effort with you. And I had a really honest friend, apparently. But it's true, people didn't necessarily think that we needed other friends other than each other, because we would just get along so well. So I've felt the sting of not being invited to things because people didn't think they needed to invite me. And then finding out about it later and being like, oh, that kind of hurt a little bit. And I wonder if this is perhaps similar to something you might have experienced in your life. Sometimes we can be in a room, right? Or even about to walk into a room and not know what our place is and feel scared and feel anxious about, am I going to walk in here and just feel alone? Is that what's going to happen? We can be in a room surrounded by people and feel extremely alone. See, I all of a sudden, when Brie left, had to figure out, where did I belong now? Because previously I belonged to the twins, that's what they called us. But now I was just Jess. And I didn't know what my place was, and I had to figure it out. Perhaps this is similar to something you've experienced. I felt this deep sense of loneliness as my safety net, my doppelganger, had left me. My best friend had gone. And I had to figure out, who was Jess? What did I look like aside from being one of the twins? Right? As an aside, I think that loneliness, this feeling of loneliness, isn't actually just for like single people or young people. I think that it can happen at any time in our lives, whether you're single, married, in a relationship, whatever it is. I think that loneliness can be felt at any time of our lives. It's not just for people who are, by our standards, alone. And it wasn't like I wasn't connected, right? I was really starting to get connected into the church and into my work and stuff, but I still felt this deep sense of loneliness, of not knowing where I belonged. Not knowing if I belonged, even. So we all have this desire within us, I have a suspicion that I'm not alone, to know what our place is in the world and to feel connected. To feel connected to other people. We want to experience that feeling of walking into a room and finding your person, and that is your person, and bam, you know that you belong. Right? We want to experience how great it is to have friends and family who care for us and who love us, who surround us. We want to experience what it's like to do life well with other people. Because let's be honest, we can't escape other people in this life. Am I speaking to the introverts in the room? I love what Pastor Mark has said numerous times across this series, that happiness comes from what happens to you. And happiness comes from our circumstances, and it can very well change as our circumstances change as well. That means that happiness can be walking into a room and finding your place straight away, but at the same time, happiness can be walking into a room and not find, well, can be taken away by walking into a room and not finding our place. And feeling like we are alone. It's circumstantial. But joy, as we're talking about today, joy goes deeper. Right? It goes past our circumstances and it goes way down deeper. See, true joy doesn't change depending on what our circumstances are. It doesn't change. And I want to say that we will find our place to belong. We will find the joy of our lives when we focus our attention elsewhere. When we choose to focus it off ourselves, when we choose to lift our eyes off our circumstances and the things that we are feeling, we will find joy. The joy that we search for in life will be found when we choose to focus our attention off of ourselves and onto God and onto others. Right? Joy will be found as you move your focus away from yourself onto God and onto others. I wonder if you might be able to pick where we're going to land in the Bible today. If you've got your Bibles or your phones, turn with me to Mark chapter 12. If you don't, that's okay. It's going to be on the screen as well. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Starting from there. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. Pause. So, what's happening here is that Jesus is having a debate with a bunch of religious leaders, and they're asking him questions about what happens in heaven when you're married. Do people stay married? What happens? So there's this guy, I assume is a man, one of the teachers of religious law, just standing there listening to what's going on. And he realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Verse 29. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. This moment in Mark 12 is a defining moment for the religious leaders. If you'll imagine with me what this setting might have been like. So here's this guy, this religious leader, he's standing there. He's just watching what's going on. Maybe he's standing with his arms folded and he's thinking, okay, this is all right. I think Jesus has answered their questions quite satisfactorily. But I wonder what he's going to do with this question. See, that's what the religious leaders were trying to do. They were trying to, throughout all of Jesus' life, trip him up and ask him questions that they thought that he couldn't answer. So this guy might have been standing there being like, all right, that's all right. But God, Jesus, which one is the most important of the commandments? And I can imagine that Jesus would have answered straight away. He would have been like, the most important commandment is this. As soon as it had come out, as soon as that question had come out of this guy's mouth, Jesus was like, the most important commandment is this. And this is a defining moment because the teachers of religious law, they know this. They know this commandment. It's not unfamiliar to them. In fact, if you know anything about Judaism, it's very ritualistic. So this is something that devout Jews would have repeated out loud twice a day. However, what they didn't know, and this is why it is defining, what they didn't know is that this is the most important commandment. Another gospel says that this is the commandment from which everything else comes. So things like the Ten Commandments. This is what it's based on. And the Jews didn't actually know this. So they just kind of treated it as another thing to say out loud and another thing in their ritual. But Jesus has just said that this one here is the most important. And that's essentially what this religious leader is asking of Jesus. What's the most important thing? What should I be focusing on? You know? If you keep reading on, you'll see that he understands this and that Jesus says to him that he is close to the kingdom of heaven because he understands that this is the most important commandment. So Jesus is saying here, and perhaps even answering a question that we all have about life. What is the purpose of life? What is the main thing? What is the most important thing? Well, Jesus says it's to love God and to love your neighbor. In our language, we might say to love God and love others. In fact, you can't have one without the other. What Jesus is saying here is that you can't love God without loving others, because loving others comes out of your love for God. It's like an overflow. Because you love God, therefore you love others. I've heard it said that a selfish Christian is an oxymoron. Right? It's a contradiction. Because the natural outworking of our love for God is that we would love others. It just happens. So how are we to love our neighbors? How are we to love others? Well, what does he say? He says, love them as we love ourselves. That means that anything that we want for ourselves, we want for others as well. And he says, love your neighbor as if he were yourself. And what that actually means is love your neighbor as you already love yourself. Because we love ourselves, don't we? A little bit. Sometimes we think we're all right. Sometimes we're like, I'm not too bad. I go all right. Some of you are sitting there thinking, sometimes I don't really like myself all that much. But let me tell you what you did this morning. You clothed yourself. You fed yourself food and or coffee. Some of you got a coffee on the way to work, on the way to church this morning just to treat yourself because you know the coffee here kind of sucks. Don't tell the boss. Right? That's what we do. We get it. We clothe ourselves. We feed ourselves. We would never let ourselves starve. Right? We look after ourselves. We love ourselves in that way. So we don't need to be told twice, right, to treat ourselves. And I want to say that you will experience joy as you look to God and then you look to others and then you look to yourself, right, as we focus our attention on the other two and we treat others the way that we would like to be treated, in fact, the way that we treat ourselves. Most of us treat ourselves a little nicer than even the person that we live with or the person that we live next door to, right? And when I say that we will experience joy when we choose to focus on God and others instead of ourselves, it's not a so that. It's not so that we will experience joy, right? There are lots of so that's in the Bible. For example, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land and prosper. It's just that joy is a consequence, I guess, of or a benefit of loving God and loving others, that joy will come. Jesus says that in Matthew 16, whoever loses their life for me will find it, that they will find their purpose as they look outside of themselves unto God and unto others. And that in that, we will find our place to belong. So what if our search for belonging was actually really found outside of ourselves and outside of what we're looking for? What if it was found in giving everything away, giving all of our love away? Every part of us, Jesus says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And that's what it's about, is to love God and then love others. This is the radical, simple gospel, right? It's a paradox. It's almost backwards. So if you don't know anything else about Jesus and the gospel, this is the thing to take home. This is the most important thing. In fact, if you boil down everything that is said in the Bible from Old to New Testament and everything that Jesus taught about, it would be to this. Love God, love others. And I want to say that we will find joy this morning. And I can't say it enough. When we choose to focus on God and others instead of ourselves. When we give ourselves away, we will find our belonging and we will find our purpose. And a great way that Jesus has given us to do this, to work this out, is in the church. You've made a great decision this morning to be here with us. The other night I went to a party and I was sleeping over. I don't normally do that. Look, I'm like 29 years old. I like my bed. But I was there until... the party didn't stop until 2 a.m., right? I know. How many of you are feeling exhausted right now just thinking about that? And I went to bed at midnight, but it just kept going till 2 a.m. And I should tell you that this was a 50th birthday party for my mother-in-law, who is amazing, and I love at her, and her friends are crazy. They are way crazier than me and my friends. I'm like, if someone comes to my house, I might as well have one of those signs up that says, please leave by 9. It's not exactly like my cup of tea, staying up till 2 a.m. with other people. My cup of tea, my preferred cup of tea, is a sleepy tea, and everyone's left my house by 9 p.m. Please and thank you. That would be wonderful. So if you've ever been to my house past 9 p.m., just know that I love you a lot. At this party, I was chatting to someone who is an introvert. It may surprise you to learn that I'm an introvert. I don't know, maybe it doesn't. But I just love like my time to myself, right? So I'm chatting to this guy who's an introvert. He's the husband of a female pastor, just like Graham is to me. And he is like a raging introvert. Let me tell you that introverts can be raging introverts. It's not just raging extroverts, right? And we were having a grand old conversation about church and about ministry. This guy's been a pastor as well in his lifetime. And we were chatting about connect groups. And he identified something really, really interesting that I wanted to share with us today about, and really important, about connecting into the church. And we can apply this not just to connect groups, but to ministry teams and things like that as well. He said he identified two reasons that people get involved in things like connect groups and ministries. Number one is that they go to connect groups to encourage one another, or to encourage others, sorry, or they go to get something out of it. And both of these are great things, are great reasons to go. But he also identified something interesting for introverts. I think I might be not the only introvert in the room today. I won't ask you to put your hands up because you'll just freak out, but that's okay. For introverts, it's essential when we go to connect groups and things like connect groups that we know what our place is, that we know what our place is in the room, and we know what our role is and where we fit, right? And you know, that's not exclusive to introverts. It just so happened that we were having a lovely introvert friendly conversation, which is lovely. I realized after a while he was doing what I do at parties and go and find somebody, and then that is your person for like the whole night, or until they will stay with, until they just don't want to talk to you anymore. Because we would rather have one great conversation than 10 little silly ones, right? Amen. So good. But for me, this highlighted something about what it means for us to outwork our love for God through loving others. And this is not necessarily just in the church. You just happen to be at Connect Sunday and listening to me preach right now. that what it said to me is that sometimes we love others by being the encouraging presence in the room, and other times we might love others just by being a presence in the room, just by rocking up, just by walking through that door, and just having actually the courage to show up. And maybe on a day like today, if we're feeling really brave, going down the back and signing up for something. Because us loving people in that moment is about us doing the opposite to what we're feeling, right? There's this theory in psychology that if you're not feeling like doing something, but you know that you have responsibilities and things like that, is act opposite. Do the completely opposite thing to what you are feeling in that moment. And then kind of let yourself catch up a little bit after that. And I think the most important thing, though, about this is that we don't do nothing, right? I said before that church is us. Church is the people in this room and the people who are yet to walk into this room. We are the people that make up the church. And I've always loved going to church. It's my favorite day of the week. Has always been. And as a child, I probably couldn't put my finger on what that was and why I loved going to church so much. But now I know that it's because I just love the presence of God. I love being in church and worshiping together, especially when amazing new songs are played. And that's my jam. It's so good. It's where I learned how to serve. It's where I learned how to love others and be loved by others. I've been in plenty of tough spots, and people in this church and churches I've been a part of have loved me through it. And then I've had the opportunity to love others through their pain. But this is where my heart is at today, right? And this is why I am preaching this to you today, because I want that for you as well. I want you to get connected. We want you at Inglewood Church to get connected. And there is a place for you here. Whether you've been coming, whether this is your first time today, you are also invited, if that doesn't scare you off. But you are. This is the church that we are wanting to be a part of. This is the church that we are a part of. A church that loves and serves and connects. So this is your invitation this morning. Perhaps you've come into church today and you're feeling alone. You're feeling like you walked in this morning and you don't have a place to belong. Maybe it's not just to do with church. Maybe it's that you feel like you're not sure what your purpose is. You're not sure what your place is. I think when we're feeling alone, we can disengage. We can just run away and not get involved. But I want to flip it on its head this morning. We're going to act opposite today. Perhaps you want to make friends and you want to know what it is to truly get involved and truly to love others. Well, this is an invitation for you this morning to work this out in the church. And there is space for you here. On this Connect Sunday, getting involved at Inglewood Church today is an invitation for you to practice perhaps for the first time or maybe for the 100th time and to remind you that this is what it's all about, loving God and loving others. And we can do that in the church. But this is not actually just for people who are insiders, for people who have been part of Inglewood Church for a while. This is for anyone, no matter where you are on the journey of faith. Whether you've been following Jesus for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, whether this is your first time stepping into a church today, whether you are searching for faith, whether you're searching for a place to belong, whether you're not really sure what you think about faith. Can I encourage you that if that's you, a great way to find out what you think about faith is to get involved. It's to surround yourself with people who love God and love others. Get involved in a connect group. Get yourself connected outside of a Sunday, because who knows that church for an hour and 15 on a Sunday isn't actually just church. Church happens all throughout the week. And connection and community happens all throughout the week. You'll either think that we're crazy, or you'll love it, right? You'll make some cool friends. You might think we're crazy at first, but push through. But that's your invitation. If you don't know what you think about church and you don't know what you think about God, I encourage you to lean in. Don't disengage. Actually, just say, all right, I'm going to figure out what this means. And I'm going to do it with other people around me. Let me tell you that you will find out a lot sooner what you think with other people around you than you will by yourself. So the invitation is here for you this morning. I'm going to ask Kat to come and just play a little bit of music for us. But you are invited, each one of you sitting here, to come and to connect and to belong at this church. I love that first song that we sang. In my Father's house is a place for me. This side of heaven, the closest thing that we have to our Father's house is the church, is how we engage in the church. And whatever you think about it, whether your view of worship is that you do it during your job and you do it on a Sunday and all throughout life, whatever that is, this place here is the place to connect with other people who also believe the same thing as you do and who also want to see God's kingdom come here on earth. So there's no gimmicks here. There's no, you're going to walk in and feel super alone again. Nothing like that. The invitation is here, whether you are introverted, extroverted, single, married, widowed, divorced, whatever. If you are a human being, you're invited to connect today. And this is what our heart is, really, for our church, is that you would find a place to connect. And then if we extend that a little, that those who you can think of, your friends, who you can invite here, will find a place to connect as well. We don't believe that church is done just by coming and sitting. We believe that getting involved is where it's at. That God will do amazing things through you, and that actually each one of you has a unique gift and a unique value to add to the life of this church. So I'd love to give you an opportunity first to respond in this moment just to this message. If something's been awakened in you this morning, I'm just going to give us just a little bit of space to sit with it right now. Why don't we just close our eyes and just be in this moment? I would love to pray for anyone who's feeling alone this morning. For anyone who feels like they don't have a place to belong. If that's you just where you are, just stick out your hands in front of you and receive this right now. God, we thank you that you give us a place to belong. But that doesn't negate the fact that sometimes we feel like we don't belong. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes it's a little hard to make sense of life and a little hard to make sense of what's going on. For everyone in this place who feels alone, God, I pray that right now you will come right next to them and remind them that they are not alone. And if for them this morning it means having the courage to sign up for something today or to talk to someone new, whatever that is, God, give them the faith and the strength to act opposite, to get in there and to connect today. I thank you that for each one of us, there is a place for us to connect here at Inglewood and here in your church, God, that you don't forget about any of us, that you are right here and in this moment we are not alone. And for anyone who doesn't know what they think about faith today, I wonder if you would allow me to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for the people here who don't know what they think about you. I pray, God, that they will find out what they think about you, God. Give them the courage to lean in rather than step away. Show them, God, even if it's scary, what it means to be in relationship with you. what it means to have purpose and to have joy. And now just for everyone here, Father, we thank you that you have purposed us for more than just ourselves. And whatever it is that we are going through right now, God, we just bring it before you. May we have the courage to choose to lift our eyes off our circumstances and find the joy that comes from focusing on you and focusing on loving the people around us. Thank you, God, that that is what it comes down to. Thank you for the beautiful, radical, simple gospel, God, that we get to be part of it. And thank you, Jesus, for this day, for this morning. I pray that for each of us, that we go away feeling encouraged, that we go away feeling blessed today. And God, that if there is anything that you have awakened in us today, if there's anything that you are prodding us to maybe do or respond in any way today, give us the courage to do that and help us see it right now. Thank you, God, for the way that you love us and that because of that, we get to love others. That is so good. And thank you for the joy that comes from that. Father, I speak joy over everyone this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you've heard about all the ways that you can get involved in church this morning, and we're giving you an opportunity to do so right now. All of our ministry leaders are going to be up the back, and if you have any questions about anything, please come and see us. Please come and ask us questions. We promise we won't be too scary. But we would love to connect with you, and just as we go out, I would love to just speak this verse over us. Why don't we stand for a second and just receive it? From Romans 15, verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.